First John chapter 2, the verse number 12. And John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want you to notice that as we were studying last Lord's Day, we did note that John, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, was addressing three categories or three groups of people. He said, I write, or I have written unto you. And then he said, little children. He says, I write unto you, young men. And he said, I write unto you, fathers. And there we were looking at growing into maturity. We had in the early part of the chapter the marks of the Christian. Now we were looking at the maturity of the Christian and how that the Christian moves on from childhood to young manhood and then finally to fatherhood. Last Lord's Day we noticed the wonder of childhood. We were looking at the baby's digestion. We thought about the baby's deformity and the baby's deception, and also the baby's delight. And I believe that God was instructing us as we looked at these things, the wonder of childhood. And it is our earnest prayer that we might ever have a desire that Sunday by Sunday that we might hear the cries of spiritual children. In other words, men and women, young people, coming to Christ and calling upon the name of the Lord and becoming babes in Christ. May God give us a heart for the children. And I'm not only speaking about those who are young in age, but I'm talking about those who are young in the faith. John says, I write unto you, little children, the born ones, the born again ones, those who have been born again of the Spirit of God and are just brought into the family. Of course, there is the food that is appropriate for the little children. It is the milk of the Word, and that's appropriate to meet the needs and the nourishment of the child. It is that which will grow the child, and the child will be encouraged in its growth. And it is right to be a child. Unfortunately, I do believe, and I've said this before, unfortunately people today are not willing to recognize that children ought to be children. Sad to say, parents are not willing to let their children be children. I said to you, Mom and Dad, in God's name, don't try to make your child an old fellow before. Listen, he'll be old long enough and soon enough. And don't try to, let that little girl be a wee woman. Oh, look at her. She looks like a wee granny. That she might be, yes. She looks that. Don't make her a granny before her time. Just let her be a child. You know, the tragedy is that sometimes we try to make children something that they're not. God grant that we will have a heart for children and that we might recognize that a child who is a little child in the faith, that's exactly what they are. And we need to be an encouragement to them. Don't put a stumbling block in their way. Be an encouragement to the child. Be a blessing to the child. And help to nourish them accordingly. And thank God, you know, the children is a very childish way. You know, a child, notice it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. And my, whenever a person comes to Christ, aren't you glad that you're going to heaven? And you're glad that God has blotted out your past. And you're glad that that dark, stained past of your ungodly days have been blotted out, never to be remembered against you anymore. The born-again ones. Marvel not that I said unto you, said Jesus to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. But as we develop that thought, you know, there is nothing wrong with being a child. In actual fact, there's the wonder of childhood. It's beautiful to be a child, and we ought to enjoy and cherish the childhood days. But there is something wrong to remain a child. And you'll notice that not only did he say, I write unto you, little children, but he said, I write unto you, a young man. I write unto you, a young man, because you see, there's a moving forward in maturity. And then he says, I write unto you, fathers. There's a further stage in maturity, in the older age. And so what we're talking about here is moving forward or growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about the wonder of childhood. I want to speak this morning about the warfare of manhood and the wisdom of fatherhood. Let's just look at it. The warfare of manhood. He said, listen, look at verse number 13. He said, I write unto you, young men, that's in the middle of verse 13, because you have overcome the wicked one. There's a battle. There's a warfare. Ye have overcome the wicked one. Go to verse number 14. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. And so what we find is this, in the moving forward in maturity, there is a moving forward from the milk to the meat. From the battle, or from the bottle to the battle. Or somebody else put it, from the wetting to the winning. You move on in maturity. And God doesn't want us, let me tell you, to stay as the children, the little babies. He says, I write unto you, young men, you see, you're growing up, there is a maturing, there's a moving forward. But I want to say something else. God doesn't want you, from your childhood moment, God doesn't want you to grow old. But God wants you to grow up. God doesn't want you to grow old. That will come, that stage, fatherhood and the old age will come soon enough. But God does want you to move from childhood to young manhood. And you'll notice when he speaks about it, he says, I've written unto you because you have overcome, or because you're strong and you've overcome the wicked one. In other words, manhood, whilst we have the wonder of the childhood, we have the excitement, and we have the challenge, and we have the warfare of the young manhood. Because you have overcome the wicked one, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. In other words, these people here that John's writing to are maturing. It's not that they're completely matured, they are maturing. He says, I write unto you, young men. There is a maturing process that's going on here. They're moving forward. They're pressing on to maturity. Now, of course, you'll notice that as he writes here, he says, I write unto you because ye have overcome the wicked one. In other words, these young men, and they're pressing forward in maturity, first of all, they have an adversary. There is a wicked one. And you know, the devil doesn't want you to move on to maturity. The devil doesn't want you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The devil doesn't want you to move from the bottle to move into the battle. You've got an adversary. Peter, when he was writing the 5th chapter in 1 Peter, said, there is the adversary, the devil, your adversary, the devil, that goeth about seeking whom he may devour, and he goes about like a roaring lion. In other words, everyone that seeks to grow, those that seek to move forward, those that seek to mature and go forward with God, friend, the devil will do everything he can to stop you. And he'll use every trick in the book to try to stop you going on with God. But whilst it's true that there is an adversary against the young man, I want you to notice the ability here. Because in verse 14 he said, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. You're strong. In other words, God has given you the ability to be strong and to overcome in the battle and to face the challenge which the devil puts against you. See, one of the marks of young manhood is strength. That's one of the characteristics. I think you and I can acknowledge we live in an age of fitness. Sometimes it moves to fanaticism. Fitness fanatics. They're running, they're jogging, they're weightlifting. They say, well, we want to get our body toned. We want to get it into shape. Mind you, whenever you see some of them, they probably have it already into shape. And mind you, well, I suppose it's beauty in the eye of the beholder. But you know, many seek physical strength. And they're always seeking to get their body fitter and fitter for the challenges that are before them. The characteristic of youth, friend, is strong. Ye are strong, young men. I write unto you because you're strong. And of course, the Spirit of the Lord tells us very clearly in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God wants you to be strong. That is a characteristic of young manhood. It's strength. I always think, whenever I think of be strong, I think of the words that Joshua spoke unto the children of Israel when they faced the battle in Joshua chapter 1. Verse 9, he says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And whilst we have an adversary, thank God, we have a God-given ability. You know, so often people today, when they see the devil and the devil's crowd seem to be taking the field, they're overcome. And they're so easily discouraged because of what the devil's doing, friend. Let me tell you this. The devil will only be able to do what God permits him to do. And the devil's day is getting short, and hallelujah, whenever you're in the sight of Christ, you're in the sight of victory. Read the end of the book, and glory to God, in Christ we win. You see, he says, I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong. You're strong. Brethren and sisters in Christ, there are challenges as you grow in grace. And as you go forward, my, the devil will come in his opposition. You've got an adversary, the devil. Do you lie down, roll over, give up? No. He said, resist him. Resist him. Glory to God, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Instead of you running from the devil, friend, get the devil running from you. In other words, be an overcomer. Be one who has the ability and strength. You say, preacher, tell me, what's the secret? What's the secret of this ability? Can I face the devil in my own strength? Can I overcome the attacks of hell that come against me this week in my own strength? And the answer most certainly is no. He says, I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you. There is the strength for the child of God. There's the secret. The Word of God abideth in you. It's not trusting in the flesh. It's not standing in your own strength. It's not mental determination. Well, I'll fight the devil. No, my friend, to overcome the devil and the attacks of hell, the flesh and the mind will feel. But praise God, there's the ability of God to face them. You've got the Word of God. You've the promises of God. You never face an attack of hell alone. You ever feel lonely? You ever feel, friend, that everyone has forsaken you, turned their back on you? That there is no hope, there is no way forward? My, the devil wants you to feel lonely. But the child of God in reality is never alone.
Whenever Joshua was writing, he said, listen, I write unto you, he said, listen, be strong and be of a good courage. He said, listen, because the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I've got the Savior with me. And what does the Savior promise me? He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Tell me, does he mean it? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thank God he meant it when he said it. Thank God he means it this morning. And praise God, we're never alone. That's the ability. Ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. In other words, it's a God-given power. Don't try, sister, to overcome the temptations of the devil in your own power. You'll fall flat on your face. You'll be discouraged. You'll be overcome. But what's God talking about these young men? He's not saying about young men being overcome. He's talking about young men who are overcomers. Living in the victory, living in the power of Christ. Ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. There's the secret. It is the Word of God abiding in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, let me read this verse to you. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. You are not sufficient of yourself, brother. You won't win in your own strength. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. But, here's the secret, our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. Paul writing to the church and the believers there in Rome, he said this, if God be for us in the Word, if in the original is the Word, since God be for us, what's the next part? Who can be against us? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Friend, that's not defeat, that's victory. That's not lying down in discouragement. Glory to God that's standing in your feet and facing the devil and the devil's crowd and marching forward in glorious victory in Christ Jesus. Since God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us, as the hymn writer? Glory to God, our sufficiency is of God. Then turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. What does it say? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That ye might be strengthened with might. Where's the power? Where do I get the power to face the devil and the temptations and the sins that so easily beset us? It's not by mental determination, but glory to God, it is Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power. That ye may be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Glory to God, it's an inside work. It's the work of God in our hearts. Then turn to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 11. It says this, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Let me tell you, God's child is not a person running around with a big long face like a lurking spade. Thank God there's joy in serving the Lord. We're rejoicing in salvation with patience and long suffering. There's a battle, friend. There's a battle going on. But thank God we're strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. There is no spiritual growth apart from the Word of God. Brethren, I write unto you young men because you're strong, because the Word of God abides in you. The Word of God's abiding in your heart. You say, tell me, how do I get the Word of God abiding in my heart? Listen, by reading it, by searching it,
by meditating upon it.
The sad reality is this, there's many a child of God, friend, and they, from one weekend to the other, they hardly ever open the Bible. Maybe they'll open, get a wee verse or something like that, and they'll close the Bible, and that's it. And then they wonder why they're not growing, why they're not really happy in the Lord. Why they're not really joyful in the things of God, friend. You see, the Word of God's to abide in you. In the book of the Acts of the Apostles, in the chapter number 17, in verse 11, this is what it says. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They searched the Scriptures daily. Is that you, brother? Are you searching the Scriptures? You know, that's not just simply reading to content yourself. That's searching the Scriptures. Whether it be so, in other words, that's studying the Scriptures. Studying it. You know, people say to me, it's all right for you, preacher. That's what you're paid for. Let me tell you, my brother and sister, you will never really grow in grace, and you'll never know the fullness of the joy of serving Christ until you read the Scriptures, till you study the Scriptures, till you meditate upon the Scriptures, because God's law is your meditation day and night. Paul's writing to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in the verse 15 he says this to him. He says, young Timothy, he says, listen, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, there is the warfare of manhood. We have an adversary, that's the first thing. Secondly, we have an ability. But praise God, we have an achievement. We have an achievement. Or we have the victory. Because, you see, the warrior enjoys the victory. It says in 1 John chapter 2, I write unto you, young man, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written unto you, young man, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The devil will attack you in every way imaginable, friend, and even in ways you couldn't even imagine. He'll attack you with every possible sin and every possible temptation. And it's not an easy battle, because your adversary is as a roaring lion. It's a fierce battle. You have a strong adversary. But glory to God, there can be the achievement of victory. Ye have overcome. In other words, ye have gained the victory. And what happens here, this young man moves from defeat to deliverance. Can I ask you a question this morning? Is the devil a defeated foe in your life? Have you enjoyed overcoming? Have you enjoyed the victory of serving the Lord? Are you a threat to the devil's kingdom? Does the devil see you as a threat to his kingdom? Have you moved, brother? Have you moved from the childhood stage? Have you moved from being served to serving? From being served to becoming a servant. It's amazing how many people who just absolutely do nothing to further the cause of Jesus Christ. Friend, I don't say this to hurt anyone. But I want to ask you a question. If this church and the running of this house, in all the labors that it does, amongst the boys and girls, amongst the elderly, amongst the senior citizens, amongst the ladies, amongst the men, amongst the youth, if this church depended on the effort that you put into it, tell me, how far would it move? The effort that you put in week after week in furthering the cause of Jesus Christ. If the cause of Jesus Christ, friend, moves forward through the effort of you serving Him this week, tell me, how many steps will it take forward? Or do you just wait to be served?
It's a child that waits to be served. It's not a man. Because a man becomes a servant. And the devil wants you to remain in the kindergarten. The devil wants you to sit amongst the playmates. But the devil hates when men rise up and young women rise up and become victors. Listen, because you see, there are some people, instead of seeing themselves as victors and enjoying the victory, they see themselves as victims. And that's how they live their lives, friend. Chipping their shoulder all the time. I'm the victim. And they never see the victory of Christ. And they never enjoy what it is, the blessing to be an overcomer. And instead of being overcome, or being overcomers, they are overcome. Now, children, we say, welcome to the nursery. But you don't say to young men, welcome to the nursery. You say to young men, welcome to the battlefield. Because there is a warfare. I write unto you, young men. I asked you before God, listen, are you moving, brother? Are you stuck in the groove? Just stuck there in the groove of childhood. You've never moved on. You just want something to be rocked in the cradle with your thumb in your mouth, waiting for the next serving. Or before God, are you saying, Lord, I want to move forward. I want to be the young man that's standing up for God. Instead of being overcome, instead of being the victor, I want to be the overcomer. I want to enjoy the victory. I write unto you, young men, because the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. And then he said this, quickly as we close. He said, I write unto you, fathers. You see, we have childhood, we have manhood, and we have fatherhood. And he said, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And the appropriate occupation of older age, friend, in reality, is not necessarily the conflict. It's contemplation. And what he's saying here is this, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him. There's the deep, rich knowledge of God. And the young men are for the stormy strife, but the fathers are for the serene meditation. We're talking about the wisdom of fatherhood. And what they're talking about is someone who has come to mature wisdom, has matured. Father is someone who has children. I asked you before God. And I'm not talking about natural children. I'm asking you, child of God, have you children? Have you children? Have you led someone to Christ? Have you been the means of introducing somebody else to Jesus, friend? Have you the joy of bringing forth children? Yes, the burden. Because there is a burden in the childbirth. And in the bringing up of children, there is a burden and a brokenness. Paul had a son in the faith. His name was Timothy. And Paul was giving instruction. He said, Timothy, listen, preach you the word. You be instant in season, son. Be instant out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You see, the time will come, Timothy. The time will come. They'll not endure sound doctrine, but they'd rather heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth, and they don't want to really hear the truth. And what Paul was doing, and he was about to die, friend, he was using the wisdom that he had gathered in the maturing of his life. And he was sharing it with his son in the faith. because there's the wisdom of fatherhood. We read this morning in the book of Proverbs, and quite often you'll read, as Solomon was speaking to his son, he said, "My son, my son, I want you to give you advice, son. And I don't want to give you the advice just for the sake of giving. Son, I want to tell you something, because I've learned in the school of life, son." And he said, "My son," he said, "forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." He says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. My son, happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and a man that getteth understanding." It's the wisdom of fatherhood. And friend, God has given us great wisdom here in this book. Why don't you read it? Why don't you study it? Why don't you meditate upon it? Why don't you let it be your delight? Day and night, let the Word of God abide in your heart. And so we see the maturity of the Christian. Are you and I maturing? You know, let us never lose the joy of childhood. You look back and you think of those childhood days, and they bring joy to your hearts. But friend, when you become a man, you put away childish things. You know, if I walked into your home someday and there was no little child sitting about you, so therefore you couldn't blame them, but if you were sitting there and my eye saw you a little car in your hand, you're zoom, zoom, zoom. Or you've got a little toy in your hand and it's rattling there. Or I happened to walk in and I saw you sitting with a big dummy in. I really would think there was something wrong. Wouldn't you, if it were me? Friends, let's move on with God. Let's move on. Let's have a burden this morning in our hearts. Say, "Oh God, that I might grow in grace, that I might grow, that I might mature, that I might move forward with you. Lord, that I might grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Son. I want to know more about you, Lord." And you know, there are means of growth. The milk of nourishment, we're to desire, we're to crave after it. We're to get onto the solid food and the meat of the Word. You know, God also makes us grow by discipline. "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." That's a part of the growth process. Discipline. And nobody for the moment enjoys it or likes it. And then there's something else, right? You see, when you grow up, you work. That's a natural thing. You get a job. You get a job. And you see, when you grow up with God and for God, you see, as you move forward in maturity, I'll tell you this, you should desire a job. You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" I'll tell you, do something for God. Don't let everybody else do it. Don't stagger from one week to the other. Let everybody else do the work of the Lord. And if there's some menial task to do in God's house, let some other sister do it. Let some other brother do it. You sit back for the ride. That's why many a child is miserable. Because they don't occupy till he comes. Let me tell you, friend, little is much when God's in it. There was a wee woman in the scripture and she had only a mite and she gave it to the Lord, friend. You know what the Lord did? He put it in this book. And for thousands of years, men have been reading about that wee woman.
and all she had was a mite.
There was a wee boy one day, and he got a few loaves and fishes for his lunch. And Jesus needed and required the disciples to get food. And a wee boy said, "Take mine.
Give it to Jesus. That's all I've got. But give it to Jesus." And friend, listen. Every time you open this book, it's there. It's recorded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. Whether you sweep the floors of God's house, whether you sit with some child in the children's meeting, or whether you sing with a man or the group in the choir for the special occasions, let me tell you, when you do it for the Lord, God will bless you. And don't you think God will overlook it, because God will bless you for it. But there's many a man who's saved for years, and many a woman, and many a young person. And friends, since the day God saved them, they've been sitting on the dole queue. And have criticized everybody else that has moved forward. But they've never lifted a finger to further the work of God. Now I ask you a question. Is that what God wants you to do? On the sideline? Offer yourself to God. Say, "Lord, take this life of mine. And God, I want you to use it. I haven't much to give, but what there is, I'd gladly give to you." And friend, God will bless you, and God will mature you, and God will use you for His honor and for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word. Thank you for your blessed truth. We pray, our God, that Thou will speak, yea, continue to speak to our hearts. And Lord, grant that we'll move on. Press on with Jesus. Looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We pray in Jesus' precious name.